Welcome to the 50 States Finish Line podcast, where we talk about running, road races, and all the ways running enriches our lives. I'm Pam, and I've completed half marathons in 30 states and have run 5 marathons. Thank you for tuning in. If you haven't listened to season one, I hope you will. I've kept in touch with my season one guests who are continuing to stay active. Jen from episode one earned her race director certification and is now organizing an October trail race in Waterville Valley. I'll put details in the show notes. And this summer, Kathy from episode three is riding her bike to Cape Cod, raising money for MS research. Cynthia from episode eight completed her 20th Boston Marathon. And Sarah from episode six and her son Nick completed a half marathon together, and it was Nick's first. Congratulations to my guests for their outstanding feats. For today's show, I am joined by a guest who completed her second Boston Marathon this past April. And for our conversation today, I am hoping my guest will take us back to 2020 when she made the decision to run her first Boston Marathon. Actually, it would have been 2021 now that I've said that. As a busy young professional, my guest miraculously fits in training and running while launching her work life. How does she manage that? I can't wait to hear. Welcome, Maggie. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself as a runner?
Sure, absolutely. So I'm Maggie. I played sports all through high school, in college as well. So I think after kind of all that, I got into running. I started with half marathons, so I've completed 5 half marathons. And then I was presented the opportunity to run the Boston Marathon in the summer of 2020, I believe. And I, at first, wasn't going to do it. And then I was like, okay, I need to do it. I need to do a marathon. So then started training. And then when did I run it? I ran in October 2021. And then I just ran now in 2022, I think.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. So I had a lot of training for my first one, which was nice. It was summer training. So it was a little different than this time around. But that just started me off. And now I think I just have the bug and I can't stop, which is crazy.
That is so great to hear. And I would love to kind of go back. So you had said you were really active in high school and college. Were you a runner during that time? Or like what changed for you that you switched over to doing half marathons and not continuing with those kinds of sports?
So I played lacrosse in college and I loved the idea of lacrosse, but I loved that running was something I could do on my own, kind of clear my mind. And I never run for time. That's something about me. I'm not a fast runner, but I go for distance. So it was just something to clear my mind at first. And then I realized that I really actually liked doing it. And then I liked setting a goal for myself. Mm-hmm. I liked mixing that in with going to the gym as well. I don't love going to the gym. I love being outside. I can't really run on treadmills. I love like trail runs. So I feel like I see a lot when I run too. So it's kind of a mix of seeing things, clearing my mind. And it was almost like my own kind of therapy.
Yeah.
So I signed up for my first half marathon with my friend in Cape Cod, actually. And then I just started getting addicted to them. And I thought it was a really good distance. It was easier training than marathons, definitely, obviously. Every time I run a marathon, I'm at the halfway. I'm like, why don't I just do halves?
Right.
But at the end of the race is always worth it. But I think the switchover was just that it was something I could do on my own. It didn't have to be an organized activity. Mm-hmm. I could just pick up when I wanted, stop when I wanted. So it was like kind of a freedom thing for me to do it on my own.
Nice. So doing it on your own, are you somebody like, so if we're thinking about the marathon, do you have like an actual schedule that you keep to during the week? Tell us a little bit about that.
So I thought my training for my first marathon, it was during the summer and I was working in restaurants at the time. So very spontaneous running schedule. Some days I would do 13 miles, other days I would do 5. And then some days I would work really long hours so I wouldn't run. So it wasn't as organized.
You probably were running while working, right?
Absolutely. I was getting my steps in, definitely. So when I moved back to Boston and I started a 9-to-5, that's when it kind of clicked of when I was going to start running. So I love running in the morning. I like mm-hmm. getting up early. So I'll do the shorter runs in the morning and then I'll save the long runs for the weekends. So yeah. That's when I'll do like my 17, 18, 19 on like a Saturday or a Sunday. This time around was a little more difficult because I started going back into the office. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely a little harder to manage that. But I find with my training, I just have to take time out of my day and, organize it a lot more, yeah. especially when I'm in the city, especially when, it's getting darker and lighter and all that. So it all depends on that. But usually I start with like a schedule I find online and then I tailor it to my own life and try to stick to it as much as I can.
Nice. So I had forgotten, like, for the Boston, because of COVID, they actually, normally it's an April race, but it sounds to me as though the first one you did was maybe like October of maybe 2021. And then so that means only 6 months later, you did a second one in this April. That's pretty remarkable. So that means you probably didn't really take a break from your training, or you were training right through the winter where we were talking about it being dark. Tell us about that.
So that was crazy. So when I finished my first one, I was like, okay, I think I'm set. And then I think I signed up in February for my next one. So I kind of did take a little lull after the October. Mm-hmm. I probably took like a month off of running and then I got back into it. And then of course the snow. So then in February I started training again. And I feel like I got a little lucky. There was a few big snowstorms, but Boston's pretty good about paving or plowing. Mm-hmm. So I was able to get in those runs, but it definitely was tough with, one, the cold and it getting dark so quickly. Mm-hmm. So I found myself running a lot on the weekends and kind of packing it in. And then I think for my training in for the April, I definitely packed the last month with way more running than I probably should have. Uh-huh. But it was just kind of the weather. Training in the winter is definitely hard, especially when you don't like training on a treadmill.
I was going to say, right? Yeah. Plenty of people go inside and just say, I got to do a long one on the treadmill. But you don't like to do that, obviously.
I don't know. But it's so nice with the Boston, just because I was a charity runner. Mm-hmm. So every Saturday I found that I saw a lot of people training for Boston. So there was a lot of like energy when I was training, which was like, it did help a lot. So I had a few friends that were running. So we'd get those Saturday, Sunday runs in, even when it was cold, definitely would like layer up. but it was great. It honestly, my training for the second one, I think just obviously, cause it was so close, was way easier than my first one.
Yeah. So you kind of maybe had like a base to start with, and then you were ramping up from there. How about the hills, right? There are hills, and maybe not right in downtown Boston, but certainly when you run the marathon going from Hopkinton to Boston, there's some really brutal hills. What do you do about that? Like, do you train on hills?
So the first time around, I didn't. And I remember getting to mile 17, Heartbreak Hill, and being like, oh, this is it. And it's just not one hill. It's up, down for like 3 or 4 miles. I've never been happier to see Boston College in my entire life. So this time around, I was like, I need to prepare for this. So actually, my longest run for this marathon was 18 miles. And I started in Wellesley and I ran to Boston College and then I ran back.
Oh,
so
cool.
I did 17 miles and I did the hills then. And it's so funny when you break them down like that, they're so much easier than when you like think of it as a whole. And also when I was running training, the Heartbreak Hill was like my third or fourth mile when I was running. So it was like so easy to manage. Whereas like on marathon day, it's mile 17. So you're like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. But I would say that my training the second time training on the hills helped immensely. Like when I was on the hills at the time, I was like, I can do this. Like, I know I can do this. Whereas the first time around, I was like, I don't know how anyone does this.
Yeah, you're right. I know we talk about it being one hill, but you're right. It's a series of hills. And true story, one time I was working in Boston at the time and a friend flew in. He was a friend of my brother's and he flew in from Houston, Texas, which is like a pancake, so flat. And he came and I said, you know, why don't we just drive the course? We drove the course and he just like his mouth was hung open the entire time because he realized what he had to race. You know, the next day it was so many hills. But you know, I think that's so smart that you kind of went and did the course on your own. And how is that? Because it's a busy stretch of road that you're running on.
It's definitely busy. And I ended up running it, like I said, the charity runners usually run on like Saturdays. And I think they usually do that route. So I did it on a Sunday. So it's definitely a little busy. It's so different running it on the marathon because
right,
there's
the whole
no
road
cars.
Yourself.
Yeah. So I'm like looking both ways. It's definitely busy though. But it wasn't anything like terrible. And once you got to Boston College, it's so nice around there. So it was easy to do that. I found myself, so on the actual race day, I run obviously on the pavement, but when I was training, I ran in the middle, which is just grass on the hills.
Interesting.
Yeah. So avoided cars a little bit. So that's kind of what I found myself. Actually, when I was running the marathon, I was like, I wish I could be on the grass. I really liked it a lot better over there, but I couldn't because that's where all the spectators are and like the medical tents. So I had to stick to the pavement. But I also, my first marathon when I ran the mile 17, the Heartbreak Hill, I found myself walking a little bit. That was probably the biggest part of the race that I walked. And then this time around, my goal was like not to walk once on it. And I completed it, so I didn't walk at all.
Good for you.
Yeah, so that was very exciting.
Good for you. So kind of giving yourself your own goals, mm-hmm. regardless of those other goals. Take us to like the start, though. There you are at your first marathon, the first time. You know, some people might run with a hydration belt, or did you feel like for that first marathon you were well-equipped and you had planned well? Is it like a 10 a.m. start? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, that's what's crazy also. It is. It's a later start. So I was, for the first marathon, since it was still COVID, it was like the first race after COVID, it was a running or a rolling start.
Okay.
So there was no start time. You kind of just got there and went. Mm-hmm. For my charity, I was supposed to start at a later time, but I was able to start earlier because they just kind of were filtering everyone out. Nice. They didn't want crowds. Mm-hmm. So I didn't even get to think about that I was just about to start the race. I kind of just started running. Like, I went to the bathroom, had a goo, and I was on mile two. Like, that's all I remember. This time around, I went probably like an hour and a half before. Mm-hmm. So I really thought about it. And they were really strict with starting times. I felt ready at that point, but mm-hmm. I think that the standing around almost made me a little more nervous. It was mm-hmm. kind of nice when I just got to go. Right. But also, it's just really cool. The Boston Marathon, just the energy of the crowd. It's such, like, everyone is having so much fun. And I got to see the elite runner start, which was something really cool.
Yeah.
And they do, I think it's called like the Village or something right before. So that was cool. And I met a lot of runners from all over. You know, people come from all over to run it.
Yeah.
And you meet people who are running it for the 20th time, like the 50th time. It's crazy. So that was really cool. I got to see that running energy the second time around, mm-hmm. which got me more excited. But I also waited around and got a little more nervous too. So it was good and bad.
So you start in Hopkinton and then you kind of roll through a series of towns. And you're saying there are spectators right from Hopkinton all the way to the finish line, right? I mean, that's unusual. Most marathons, you'll have a little lulls along the way. But you're saying no, right? Oh, spectators every step.
Every step of the way. It's crazy. I think I'm spoiled to have run it the Boston yes. first, because now I'm like, I don't know if I could do another one, because it's like they really keep me going the whole mm-hmm. time around. And every town is so different. You know, some are like people with kids and it's all kids, and others are mm-hmm. bars you're running by or mm-hmm. fire stations. I think there's one stretch for maybe 5 minutes where there aren't people and you're on the water. I think it's like right before Natick or something.
Okay.
And you're on the water, so it's just gorgeous, so you don't even think about it. Otherwise, it's people like for miles and stretches everywhere. And I think this year, I think it's the 50th year that women were able to run mm-hmm. The Boston Marathon. So the energy for that, there are like all these girl power songs and all these signs. So that was really fun too.
Oh, that is really great. And they always talk about the Scream Tunnel at Wellesley.
Scream.
That you can hear it from even before you kind of get to the gates of the campus.
They are not kidding. I remember hearing it and being like, oh my gosh, that and Boston College. Boston College is crazy. Like I said, it's after the hill too, so you've never been more excited to see it.
Right.
But the Scream Tunnel, Wellesley is crazy. That's actually, the past two times I've run for charities in Wellesley. Mm-hmm. So it's always fun to do that. And it's the halfway mark.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, I did half. I can do another half, hopefully. So it's always really fun to get to Wellesley too.
That is great. That is great. So you're saying your charity was to benefit an organization in the town of Wellesley? Ah, very cool.
Both times. So the first one was Sustainable Wellesley. So mm-hmm. it was just raising awareness for sustainability within Wellesley. Mm-hmm. And then this time around, I ran for a charity that was raising money for after-school programs for kids' sports to get kids active after COVID and all that. So that was really cool to raise money for kids. And they all had signs at Wellesley with the kids. So that was really, really great energy
nice.
Too.
Very nice. Very, very nice. Well, I think running Boston, it like you're saying, is just such an iconic race. And it sounds like it did not disappoint for you. And I would imagine, so you have those two under your belt. Do you have another race kind of on the horizon at this point?
For now, I think this summer, not at the moment. I really want to run a half again, mm-hmm. just because I think it'll be really fun to run a half after
running.
It'll
be so easy.
Yes. I'm going to finish and be like, we don't have to go again. So I'm looking for a half marathon, definitely. I think in the fall, I know there's one in Cambridge that I was looking mm-hmm. at. I think the fall would be a nice time to run, and summer training. So it's not as much pressure and it's nothing too soon. I can't believe I'm saying this after I finished last time. I was like, I'm not running another, but I'm definitely looking to run another. I don't know exactly where. I would love to run Chicago mm-hmm. or New York or something like that, but obviously harder to qualify and all that. So I haven't picked a race yet, mm-hmm. but I would think something local in New England. I know Vermont has really nice races, as well as like New Hampshire, something local. It definitely will be a little different than running Boston, but I'm really excited and can't believe I want to do another one.
Well, I think it's a good habit to get into, to put races on your calendar. And certainly there are so many wonderful ones to choose from. And it's just so exciting that you've got the bug and now you can stick with it. So that is super exciting. At this point, we're going to take a short break. You are listening to the 50 States Finish Line podcast, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the 50 States Finish Line podcast. Maggie, what keeps you running?
Well, obviously I run to stay in shape. I love being outside, but I think it's just, like I said earlier, I think it just clears my mind a lot and it's kind of my own therapy. I think when I also like I said, I can run for a mile. I can run for 10 miles. I can mm-hmm. stop when I want. The ball's kind of in my court. But I've really found it as something as I love going for walks, but I love going for runs because you're burning those calories, but you're also kind of seeing things. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts when I'm running. So it's kind of like, it just clears my mind and it just keeps me running. And I think it's so fun. And one thing I love about running is when I sign up for these half marathons or these marathons, it's setting a goal for myself. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an internal goal to get those miles in. So it's kind of a battle against myself, which I feel like I definitely feel that in the marathons too. So I think it's just a great challenge to do with yourself.
That sounds great. Do you find, so, you know, some people think like running is too hard, or as a young professional, you have a lot of work responsibilities and a lot of socializing maybe happening, right? Boston is definitely a young person city. How do you figure that into kind of the work, socializing and running part about it?
I think I just organize my time to always fit it in. You know, I don't hold myself. If I don't run one day, I don't beat myself up about it. I try to get at least 3 days in. If I get four, that's awesome. Like I said, miles change. So I think it's all about balance. I think especially with work is stressful. We're young mm-hmm. and we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. So it's nice to do a little detox, and it's a detox of, like you said, there's a social life, but it's doing something on your own. So I think it's really nice to be able to be by yourself and kind of do something on your own. That's what I always feel with running. I just kind of always fit it into my schedule. So even if I have a busy schedule, it's like I can fit in a mile, 2 mile, 5 mile run. I can always fit it in.
That is so great. And you're right. Like having that time for yourself. I know sometimes being in a city, it's maybe hard to be by yourself because you see lots of groups out or people doing things, but I think you're so wise to make time for yourself and recalibrate, right? Recalibrate every day, if that's what it is, to just kind of organize things in your mind. So that's really exciting. So it sounds like running has really enriched your life. In your family, does anyone in your family run? Do you run with friends at all?
So my mom's actually run 4 marathons. So yes,
wow.
So she kind of started it. She since has had 2 knee replacements, so she does not run anymore. But she kind of always did it. Never was a competitive runner, just kind of mm-hmm. did it because she loved it. My sister has done 2 marathons, so kind of following in my mom's footsteps. So that's nice. And then I do find it as a nice social thing with my friends. A lot of my girlfriends do run. So that's awesome. We'll go on like little 5 mile runs and sometimes nice. We'll chat. One of my friends is my roommate. It's much faster than me, but it's nice to run together. I texted her on my way here and I was like, we're going for a run Friday. And she was like, count me in. We already have like a water run like planned. I was like, you'll love the route. It'll be great. So I think it is like a little bit of a social aspect too.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a twofer. You get friendship and you get exercise.
Exactly. So what could be better?
You need that in a busy life. I like to ask my guests kind of rapid fire questions. And I have to say what's been really interesting, people have different kind of favorite things. So like, do you have a favorite shoe or a favorite tech item?
So right now, well, for my past 2 marathons and all the halves, actually, I wear Hokas. Mm-hmm. I love them. I think they're great support. I do think that I kind of run through them quickly. I think mm-hmm. I wear them down quickly, but they've been awesome so far. I have Never had feet issues, knock on wood. So that's been really good too. And I wear them like on my walks, on my day to day. So they're really durable for everything, honestly.
That is nice. And no injuries, right? Even though you did two marathons kind of close together, 6 months apart, no shin splints, nothing.
Nothing terrible. Sometimes my left knee will give me a little backlash, but I walk it off. After the race last time, I was like, okay, maybe we'll give it a little week break. But nothing crazy.
You're not one of those people who's like taped up their leg. You know, it's like a little graffiti on their leg and it's just tape.
Not yet. Maybe marathon four, that'll come around.
I've never worn that stuff, but I hear it really works.
I haven't either, but I do see, especially on race day, people are taped up like everywhere. And you're like, I mean, if it works for you, though, that's great. Right. I don't even know how to begin to do that.
Is there something you say to yourself when the going gets tough?
I definitely, this marathon, for some reason, I think it was like mile 20. I was like, oh, I'm in pain. And I think it's like, I made it that far. I'm not going to not do it. Like, mm-hmm. I think every time I go into a marathon, a half marathon, I know I signed up. I know I trained. I know I can do it. So it's never a question of like I know I'm going to finish, but it's like, I don't know if it's going to be pretty. So I think just a note to myself is like, I'm going to get through this. It's going to be a little hard, but it's nothing I can't do. I've trained for it. So when the going gets tough, I'm like, you got to keep pushing. Like,
yeah.
you're going to keep going until, unless I'm crawling over the finish line, I'm not finishing.
You haven't had to crawl yet. That's a good sign.
Not yet.
Do you wear like a Garmin watch? Lots of folks coming on the show wear Garmin. Do you have like a favorite tech thing that you wear?
I do the Apple Watch. So I like that. And I wear the Apple Watch every single day. So, I love that. I set calories for that. It's funny. I think I was going so long last marathon, it actually died at mile like 23. Probably was like, why are you working out so much? So I just do the Apple Watch. And that's pretty much it. For the marathons, I used Goo.
Yeah.
I find myself eating like way too much Goo. I think it's like a mental
thing.
The
apple pie one or?
Salted watermelon is my go-to.
Oh,
very
okay.
Random. But I do think it's a mental thing towards the end. I'm like, I don't need to do this every 5 miles. This is gross. And I find myself after every marathon not being hungry. And I think it's probably because I eat too many goose.
But you can't have a Gatorade. I don't know about you, but after a long marathon, it's like, oh, the sight of a Gatorade. No, thank you.
No, not at all. I know every water stop, I'll do like the little thing of Gatorade in the water. By the end of it, I'm like, I don't even think I want water anymore. I'm like, ugh, like nothing. I'm not even thirsty when I finish.
Well, that's I don't really know all about the whole hydration, but that sounds like a good idea. And so like in terms of the heat, right? I guess this year, Boston, was it hot? The second marathon you did, was it a hot day?
It was like probably the most perfect day ever. It was,
oh, nice.
Yeah, it was like, it was hot in the sun, definitely. But there was a nice breeze. And like when I started, I actually was cold. I had like a sweatshirt and you can throw it off and it gets donated, which is great. So I did start off in a sweatshirt and then I was just in a short sleeve and leggings and it was like probably the perfect day ever. I think it was crazy. The next day at work, a few people I work with also ran. We all were comparing our different funny sunburns because the sun was definitely shining and everyone, I had it only on half my body. I don't know how that happened. But otherwise, yeah, the sun was out, but it was never terrible. It was never like deathly hot, which we were really, really lucky for because April is hit or miss, I feel
so
like.
True. Yeah. So true. Sometimes it can be 80 and sometimes it can be freezing cold. Mm-hmm. And wet. Yeah. So none of those. So now you're gonna have to do another one. You've had good karma so far. So maybe you're the lucky charm on race day.
Exactly. I just gotta keep going now.
Is there anything, Maggie, that we haven't talked about that you would want to mention, particularly for folks starting out, right? That decision of doing a first marathon. Anything that was in your kind of calculus around that decision that you would share with others?
I think, so when I was first asked to do the Boston Marathon my first time, I was like, no, I don't want to do it. And I think it just seemed really, really intimidating. That's a lot of miles. And I think it's just a really intimidating idea. But I think my biggest thing is if you break it down, you can obviously do it. Like if you can do half, you can do another half. It's just, you got to build yourself up to it. So it's disciplining yourself. But I think if you put your mind to it, you can definitely do it. I think it's very intimidating. I think the first time around, definitely don't press yourself on time.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to finish like that. That's your goal. Your goal is to finish the first time around and then come back and go for time and go for all that. But I would say to anyone who is thinking of doing it, just to do it. It's such a reward. It's so rewarding. And it's really cool. People like all the time stop me and they're like, I can't believe you've done two. Like, I can't even do one. Like,
right.
A lot of people can't do marathons or won't ever do it. And I think that if you get the opportunity and you think that you are physically ready to do it and that you can train yourself to do it, I think that everyone should do one. I think it's just, it's until you do it, you don't understand why people do it, I feel like.
Right. Well, you've heard it here. The call's gone out. More runners are needed to do the marathon. And I'm just so happy for you that you have found your way to the sport and that you're keeping with it and that you've done two marathons, because you're right. So many people, it's like one and done and they don't continue on. But it sounds to me like you've just incorporated some wonderful lessons in your life. So just wonderful tidbits that you have shared. So you have been listening to the 50 States Finish Line podcast. I want to thank you, Maggie, so much for joining me in the studio. To our listeners, you can find this podcast on all podcast platforms. And until next time, I hope our listeners are feeling energized about planning their next race. Happy running.